but I have to fire you because you said you couldn't sing. That was on the interview, Brother Horsch. I'm sorry, we're just going to have to find somebody else. Amen. And I love you, Pastor Mark. That was wonderful. Just praise God. That's one of my favorite songs, one of my very favorite songs. And those of you that are new to technology, that's on the playlist. That one's on the playlist. That one gets played on my iPhone over and over and over and over again. And praise the Lord. You pray for Pastor Mark. He's traveling out tomorrow morning early. Early. I said that because I'm the one driving him to the airport. I think you ought to take an Uber car personally, but I guess it's mine. Amen. And he'll be leaving Monday, coming back Friday night. And he's going out to a missions conference out there at North Valley Baptist Church. And his boss said, listen, while you're out there, it'd be a good idea if maybe you plan for your wedding. So multiple trip, amen, a work trip, and really just a blessing, brother. I appreciate Brother Trever so very much, and the great school there, Golden State Baptist College. And it's not just a great school, it's a great church. It's about the church. Any Bible college is measured by the church. The church. Jesus died for the church, amen. And so we appreciate Brother Trever and that great, great ministry out there. So you pray for Pastor Mark and pray for me as I drive him early, early to the airport. Amen. Early. I did say early. Did I say early? Amen. Throughout the years of time, the passing of history and the pages of the Bible, God has had a people for himself in a place for them to meet with him. In the Old Testament, there was the family of Adam. Genesis 4:26 says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then we, of course, remember the family of Noah. Genesis 7:1, it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in thy generation. And just a chapter later, in chapter 8, verse 20, it says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. Many have asked, well why did Noah didn't just bring two of every animal onto the ark? He brought, there were certain animals that God said, I want you to bring more. And that's the exact reason why, was when they came off, there were offerings that he wanted to give before the Lord. Then there was the family of Abraham. Genesis 12:8 says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai to the east, and there builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. His son Isaac and his family, Genesis 26:25 says, and he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord. The family of Jacob, which God built the nation of Israel with. Genesis 35:7 says, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because God hath appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Then we remember not only the families, but we remember the nation of Israel, who had the tabernacle. In Exodus 25:8 and 9, it says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle. And then, of course, after the tabernacle was the temple of Solomon. 2 Chronicles 2:1 and 3:1 says, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord, and an house for his kingdom. And then 3:1 says, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. And then, of course, the temple was rebuilt. Zerubbabel, Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, that thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, a wicked king, amen, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem. We remember later that there would be what we call the temple of Herod, which was the Jewish temple that was rebuilt. Remember when Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. And then the Jews, they didn't understand that he was talking about the temple of his body. They looked over at that temple of Herod. They said, 46 years was this temple in building. And will thou rear it up in 3 days? Throughout the pages of the New Testament, we not only had the temple and the tabernacle, the Old Testament, the New Testament, we had the synagogue. Remember that centurion who had a sick servant, and they said, he hath built us a synagogue, a place for us to meet with God. In the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, God still has a people for himself. The nation of Israel rejected Jesus. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 15, he said, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel. I've come first to Israel. Remember John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Matthew 27:22-25, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do with Jesus that is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let it be crucified. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. The nation of Israel rejected the Jew, rejected the Messiah, Jesus being the Messiah. And even Paul's preaching of Jesus, Paul in Romans 1:16 said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. By the way, Brother Doug, what you said is true. If we'd have less Christians that were ashamed of the gospel, we'd have more Christians. Said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. And they rejected his preaching. Paul, Acts chapter 13, verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken unto you, speaking to the Jews, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. By the way, God's not done with the Jew. He will deal with them for 7 full years after the rapture of the church. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. But however, their stubbornness, the phrase goes like this, their loss is our gain. Because I don't know, maybe there's one of you that snuck in tonight that's of the tribe of Benjamin. Or Ephraim. Is there one of you tonight, maybe that's of the tribe of Reuben? By the way, next time a Jehovah's Witness asks you a question about that, they said, oh, I'm going to be one of the 144,000. Ask them which tribe they're from. Because the Bible says they're of specific tribes. I think they're probably the tribe of Dan, because he's not listed in that passage. Amen. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, what happened? The gospel went to the Gentiles, and that's you and I. Gentiles, not Jews. Amen. The people of the New Testament that God has for himself is none other than the local New Testament church. The church is God's called out assembly from the world, that body of people that have been saved and baptized in desire to follow his word. Ephesians chapter 5, again, I said this today to Chris and Maria as they were standing there before me. I said, Chris, it's so important that you love your wife, because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. And all God's wives said, thank you. That was your chance. And then it says, comma, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Later on in the chapter, it would say in Ephesians 5:30-32, for we are members of his body. Church, we're members of his body. Amen? Of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. What is it talking about there? Is it talking about the church? Is it talking about marriage? It says here, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Hallelujah. Lord, oh, I can't wait until the bridegroom comes to claim his bride. Jesus is the bridegroom, and that church, that called out assembly, is his bride. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I say amen to that right there. Amen. that ye should show forth his praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see, the people of God in the New Testament is the church. And the church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church. Two separate groups. 1 Corinthians 10:32 tells us that. But while the church is no doubt the people of God, it is equally the place where his people meet. We call this the church house. This is the church. This is the gathering place. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, and let us consider one another. Let us be considerate of one another. To provoke unto love and to good works. You know what I want to do, Brother Merrill? I want to be considerate of you. I want to, as your pastor and as your brother, try to provoke you to do the right things. And all the way around. And that's, by the way, that's not just verse for pastors. That's for all Christians. Why? Because in the next verse it says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, I'm not talking about work. I'm not talking about legitimate reasons. But I'm talking about, I'm tired. I'm just going to stay home. Listen, when you forsake the assembling of yourself together, first of all, we miss you. Somebody that was going to be encouraged by your presence is not encouraged. It's a zero-sum game, folks. It really is when you think about that. Somebody will not be encouraged because you were not there to encourage them. Think about that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of such is, but so much the more as you see the day of prayer. I've said it so many times. It's not time for less church. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, it's time for more church. Here's the thing. We have three times a week service, and a couple of weeks during the year we have Vacation Bible School, which is every night on steroids. Hallelujah, amen. And then we have a missions conference where we go Sunday to Sunday, and we have a revival meeting where we go Sunday to Sunday. And I know after those kind of weeks we're worn out. I'm worn out. You're worn out. And then most of the rest of the year we'll do Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'll tell you what, if you say, boy, that's too much, Pastor. That Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's just too much. All right, here's what we'll do then. We'll follow the model of the book of Acts. How about that? Brother Merrill knows what that is with that very loud laugh there. They met every day. We should have church every day. Hey, listen, folks, ladies, I'm not upbraiding. I'm saying this, that God not only has a people, but he has a place for his people to meet. And in this age of grace, it is the church. There's a growing sentiment birthed by disobedience and apathy to the word of God. And it's spawning unfaithfulness at the church of God. I've heard it all comes another one. But I've heard a lot of them. I've heard people say, well, we have church at home. And listen, that's how the church started, in homes. Here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want to ask you, though. For those that say, oh, we don't want to, do they have pastors and deacons there?
Come on.
Do you observe baptism?
Come on.
You serve the Lord's table?
Come on.
Probably not. I've never had anybody answer those questions and say, yes, absolutely, we do. If they did, I said, praise the Lord. Good for you. Then it's a church. But if it's not, you look at the New Testament and say, listen, this is what God said. I've heard others. And I mentioned this one a couple weeks ago, and it just about threw people. I said, the person that said, I'll be there in spirit. We don't have ghost services. Amen. We don't have ghost services. If we had ghost services, we'd have healing. Hallelujah. Amen. How about this one? I can be with God on my fishing boat. Is the word of God taught there? Are people edified there on your fishing boat besides you? No. Listen, whenever your local church gathers, you're under orders to be there. It's if listen, and I'm not being unkind. If you think that you're not, you got to take Hebrews 10:25 and you got to take a black magic marker and highlight it in your Bible. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's what it says. We said we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Amen. God commands and yea demands His people to gather together in His place. And while, listen, there are a select few excuses for missing church, forgive me, many excuses are lame excuses. Just, again, just when I think I've heard them all, somebody says, well, we have a birthday party. My son's birthday today. Guess I should have took the night off, Brother Doug. Amen. Had a little birthday party at the house. We'll have it on a different day. Aunt Bertha stopped by. Show her where the remote is and the fridge is. That's all Aunt Bertha needs to know. That's all she needs to know. And tell her we'll be back at about 8:30. It's family time. Sniffles. I got the sniffles, but you go to work tomorrow. Help me. Help me preach tonight, please. Amen. Listen, you're here on a Sunday night. I'm tired. Dr. Malone used to say that all the time. I've been tired ever since I got saved, and I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead. That's what he used to say. He's been tired. I love when he said, I've been tired ever since I got saved. Hey, you know, when I served the devil, I got tired. I was up late. I'd be at the bar. I'd be breaking down the drum kit, getting home at 3:30 in the morning. Hey, the least I can do is serve God with that fervor. Be faithful. I'm getting caught up on household projects. On God's time? Are you kidding me? Listen, I know, please know I'm your pastor and I love you. I know. I get so tired of apologizing because, listen, I know on Saturdays, some of you precious men, you work all week long. And then you got to get lawn cut and you got to get leaves raked. And I understand, I know you can't always be out for soul winning and visitation and all those things, but listen, Sunday is the day of the Lord. It's the Lord's day. It's the day set aside to put aside those cares. And I know for some of you it's hard to put away those cares. Listen, you got stuff. I think of some of you men and the stress and the strain that you're under, and please know that your pastor understands. I worked a job in New England for almost 10 years as an associate pastor. I know. I'm saying this. Listen, God didn't make a mistake when He wrote Hebrews 10:25. And He told us to be considerate of one another and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. God will never bless blatant unfaithfulness to the simple command to gather with God's people. He never will. The greatest generation of Christians, I'm talking about that generation from World War II on, by and large understand this. But I'm telling you this, if my generation and Pastor Donald, your generation doesn't get it, in 20 years, this church will be half of what it is. You say, why? Because in 20 years, the 80-year-olds are going to be 100 and probably going to be in heaven. And what happens? Oh, listen, it goes back to what we were saying before about reaching people, reaching out to people. Yeah. That's how God builds His church. But listen, those of us that do that, we've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful to the church house where the Word of God is taught, where you can be encouraged, where you can be challenged by the Word of God. The context here in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, we see that Christ arose. Hallelujah. Amen. And then in verses 11 through 29, we see that Christ appears. And He appears to Mary in verses 11 through 18. And He appears to the 10 disciples in verses 19 through 25. And He appears to the 11 disciples in verses 26 through 29. And when Jesus appeared to the disciples the first time, Thomas was missing. He missed the first Sunday night service after the resurrection. The Bible doesn't tell us why. We don't know why, but we just know that he was not in attendance. With God's help and using John chapter 20 as a springboard, if I could, I'd like to look at some things that happen when God's people gather together. And no doubt, some were there, but there were also some that weren't there. And the message is what you miss when you miss. I'll never forget being in Bible college, and I have this written in my Bible. The Bible college Bible I used was an old Schofield Bible, and I still love the old Schofield Bible. Thank God for that center reference column and all. Just what a blessing it is. And in the back of my Bible, there's a chapel service that we had. And they had a rule at Midwestern that if you didn't have a class before or after chapel, that you did not have to attend chapel, because there were drive-in students that it was difficult for them to make it in time, and that's why they had made the rule. But I remember thinking, Brother Doug, why would anybody miss chapel? That was my favorite class at Midwestern, and it wasn't a class. In my office, there are four full notebooks of every chapel sermon that I took notes on. I see you, Brother Drake, with your pad up here, and that'll bless you later, amen. Except for mine, you can get rid of those, amen. But I had four notebooks of chapel messages, and there was a chapel message from a preacher one day. His name is Tim Pledger. He was in Nigeria for years, good missionary. And he preached on being past feeling out of Ephesians 4. And I'll never forget, he was talking about a scar and how you can poke at a scar and it doesn't hurt at all. It's past feeling. And he just preached, and it was such an incredible message. And I think that day, if I remember correctly, we had 20 people surrender to the mission field. I think six of them are still on the field. I know one of them is Brother Brian Heath, who I've been with for the last 2 days reaching prisoners. He goes into the prisons. Another one is Ray Martinez, our missionary, to the Lakota Sioux. I believe Kevin Berg was there that day. It was incredible, absolutely incredible. And I remember the next day, people came. And I actually felt like a leper, because I knew God wanted me to pastor. So I wasn't surrendering to the mission field. I saw everybody go forward, and I was kind of like, well, okay. But I was rejoicing in the moment, amen, for everybody. And somebody came up the next day and said, hey, man, I heard that was a great chapel message yesterday. I said, man, I'll have to get the tape. At that time, it was cassette tapes, young people. Pay attention, amen. Said, it was great, and you'll probably enjoy the tape, though they didn't, because you know what happened, Brother Bryce, is he preached so hard that he knocked his microphone off and it swung for the rest of the... So all they heard was swish, swish, sounded like corduroy pants, the whole message, amen. Woo, woo, amen. And I said, you know, you'll enjoy it, but you had to be there. You had to be there. I love listening to preaching. Brother Sammons, I know you do a lot of it on your way back and forth to work. Brother Sammons has given me so much preaching. I love listening to preaching. Enjoying in my office. I'll listen to my pastor. I have hours and hours of Dr. Malone's messages. I'll listen to them. They bless me. There's something about being in the house with God's people when the Word of God is preached. Let me just give you a few things, and we can run our Bibles a little bit. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. The title of the message is What You Miss When You Miss. What you might miss, amen. We'll see some things here. Matthew chapter 12. Look, if you would, verses 10 through 13 of Matthew chapter 12. Now I'm just going to go ahead and read. You catch up when you can. It says there, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand." This is one of my favorite miracles in all the Bible. See, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't walk over, pat him on the arm. He just says, just stretch it forth. Can you imagine? You've seen people with gnarled limbs. You've seen people that have been affected by polio and how their hands are all... And he just said this. He said, stretch forth thine hand. Verse 13. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Can I tell you what you might miss when you miss? First of all, number one tonight, you might miss the glory of God. You might miss the glory of God. Jesus walked into the synagogue one Sabbath day, and those that were gathered with God's people that day saw the glory of God. They saw it right before their eyes. God may just do something glorious in His house amongst His people. It may be just one heart. It may be very private. It may be very public. Who knows when God will sweep through His house like He did on the day of Pentecost and just move through in a special way. And if you're here, you'll see it. And if you're not, you won't. The glory of God. God's glory can happen when God's people gather together. Not only the glory of God. Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Like I said, maybe I should have preached this on Sunday morning. You folks are here every week. Many of you are here every week. I hope you'll encourage somebody else to try to be faithful to the Sunday night service. It's the family service. It's the teaching time of the church. It's that time when we get together. Sunday morning, praise God. I love Sunday morning. I love the worship and the singing. And there's more here. But many times it's for the lost. It's for the sinner. It's for that guest and that visitor. Sunday night is for God's people. God's be the core of the church. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 22. Let me just read a parallel passage in Mark 1:21. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Luke chapter 4, look at verse 16 through 22 with me. We'll read it together there. It says, and it came to pass, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I love that phrase. Of Paul, it says, as his manner was. As his manner was. And stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So picture this, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't have the completed Bible. They had books in these synagogues of the Bibles that had been hand copied. And he had the prophet Isaiah. And where he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm told that Billy Sunday, every time he preached, opened his Bible to Isaiah 61:1. And then preached. And that the rest of his Bible would be just as white as snow. But Isaiah 61 would be black, dirty. Because it was always open in the outdoor. That's the passage that he's reading from here. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? You know, Jesus walked into the synagogue one day with those that were gathered with God's people. And secondly, not only do we see you might miss the glory of God, I can guarantee you what you'll miss here when you miss the teaching of God. Jesus here taught the Word of God. And I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, here at Loomis Park Baptist Church, for Sunday school, for Sunday morning, for Sunday night, for Wednesday night, if you're here for any of those services, you are going to hear the teaching of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we will lift up the Savior. Amen. We will lift up the Scriptures. Amen. We'll lift up the salvation. We'll lift up sanctification and holy living. We'll lift up separation. We lift up the Bible. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. We'll lift that up, ladies and gentlemen. We will lift up and we will teach about God. Again, I know. And I thank God. I really do. I thank God for Pastor Donald, Pastor Mark, that take care of our website. That if you can't be here, that you could listen on, you could listen online. You get all the messages, everything I preach is uploaded, and I do appreciate that. I remember meeting, a matter of fact, Brother Bill, it was at one of your children's funerals there that I met. Yes, that's exactly right. I met Dan Anthony. I had not met Dan Anthony before, and Dan was there. And he said, I introduced myself. I said, I didn't know who he was. He didn't know who I was. And I introduced myself. I said, I'm Rich Sabotsky. He said, Rich Sabotsky? He said, yes. And I said, yeah. And he said, you pastor over at Loomis? I said, yes. He said, I'm Dan Anthony. I'm Pastor Phil Anthony's son. I said, oh, it's good to meet you. He said, I listen to your messages. I said, oh, my goodness. Why? That's what I said. Why? You know why? I'm not saying for me, because the Word of God's taught. If you're not here, I think about our Sunday school class, the Berean class. I love our class. I said this morning, we're an eclectic group. We have people that have grandkids, and then we have people that are not married. It's kind of the college and career group of our church. But I said, you know, if you're part of our class and you miss something good. And you know what? That's not recorded. That's not recorded. Listen, it may be that you're struggling hard against a particular stronghold in your life. And that night, the pastor's going to preach on it. But you're tired. And I'm not discounting being tired. Please know that. Please don't be mad at me for this. I remember being tired. I remember coming in on Wednesday night thinking, how on earth am I going to stay awake? And the Lord blessing, giving me something that I needed for my soul. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'll just tell you this as your pastor, I promise you that anybody that stands behind this pulpit will preach the Word of God. Amen. You might miss the glory of God. You might miss the teaching of God. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 23. Folks are so kind. I mean that. Encourage me. Verse 23 says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. Come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed. And so would you have been. Probably just stood there like this. Insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth, he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Listen, Jesus walked into the synagogue one day, and those that were gathered with God's people witness, number three, the deliverance of God. The deliverance of God. You say, we've never had that happen here. We never had that happen here. Oh yeah? Oh yeah? I've seen people walk the aisle and be delivered from hell. I've seen people walk the aisle, kneel at an altar. Appreciate that testimony, Brother Tim. Brother Tim said he came to the altar last week. I preached on the mind of Christ. The simple solution for most of our relationship problems is just the mind of Christ. If we just had the mind of Christ. And Brother Tim said, give me the mind of Christ. And John, who was visiting, got right down next to Tim. And he looked over at him and he said, he asked him about his salvation. And John almost said to him, what must I do to be saved? You know, it's like somebody not coming to your door and knocking and say, could you please tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ? It's supposed to be the other way around. I thought about that and I thought, how many people have come to the church and been delivered from alcohol and drugs? If you're not here, you miss it. We rejoice. John came and his wife Mandy and they're staying over at the Travel Lodge and they got things going on. We're trying to help them and be a blessing to them, amen, and counsel with them. And listen, but if you weren't here last Sunday night, you missed that.
Yep.
You missed it. Wouldn't it be, I think about people that for years and years and years have come to church. I think of a lady that was at our church at Harvest Baptist Church in New Hartford, Connecticut. She came, and the pastor is so gracious, Pastor Shaw. He's the best. I love that guy. She came, and she would be faithful, but she had no testimony or anything. And he just asked her, he said, would you mind just going in the nursery? And you know, I know you come. And she worked in the nursery for 7 years every Sunday morning and would come on Sunday night and just listen. And after 7 years, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. That's a lot of sermons. After 7 years, she walked the aisle and got saved. And some people missed it. Some people missed it. What? Chris got saved? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she did. Sunday night? Stupid football game. I agree 100% with that statement. I don't usually use the word stupid. Listen, football in its place, enjoy. Football in the place of gathering God's house, stupid. Yeah. Amen to that. The deliverance of God, the teaching of God, the glory of God. Oh, I love this one. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Only got 28 more points. Glory to God. Amen. No, I don't. I don't. This one is halfway home. We got 7 points. I know we're late. I apologize. I just got to preaching tonight. I'll move through these last four here. I do love this one. I said the man with the withered hand is my favorite, but I think this one is second on the list. Maybe third. I like the man born blind. That one's incredible. Amen. But Luke chapter 13, verse 10. It says, and here he was again, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues. That was the place where God's people gathered. Amen. On the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And was bowed together, and in no wise could lift up herself. I believe, and I've taught this before, but I believe that literally her back was so crooked that she was looking at her knees. Had to walk around like this. 18 years she was that way. We have some people in our church that struggle with back problems. Struggle. Mama Holy, I know you're struggling with your back. Dave Wright struggles with his back. But she was there at the synagogue. And it says there, verse number 10, or verse 11, says, and she could no wise lift herself up. Verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. So just imagine, you know, that wherever she was in the synagogue, that she had to come over. And he said this in verse 12, called her unto him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her and she was made straight. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Just try in your mind to think about this woman that has come to your church for 18 years, always bowed down. Think about people in our church. I think of somebody like Miss Madge. Miss Madge is 92. And as we all do with age, I think maybe there was one time where I was 6'3", but now I'm about 6'2". And some of you know about that. Amen. Shrinking. Remember old Hazel Cassibo, Brother Fred's wife. Praise God. Amen. They always used to say, Brother Fred, you know, of course, Brother Fred's 5'2", and Hazel was about 4'11". They said when they got married, she was 6 foot, but they settled down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here's this woman that has never, in all the years that anyone has known her, been anything but bowed over. And here she is, straight up in the air. I wonder if she did this. So that's what it looks like. A little dusty up there. No, amen. You know what you might miss? You might miss the glory of God. You might miss the teaching of God. You might miss the deliverance of God. You might miss the touch of God. Think of what would happen if she said, listen, it would have been legit, as far as I'm concerned. My back hurts. And you know those synagogue pews. They're not the most comfortable. I think I'm just going to take the day. And they didn't have ibuprofen back then either. She said, you know, I think I'll just take the day off. Think what she would have missed. Huh. You know, God still touches people. Oh, I know we don't live in the age of healing. I know that. You know that. But He still touches people's hearts for service. He still touches people to repent. He still touches people for salvation. And if you're not here, you might miss it. I think about those services where God was working in my heart to be a preacher. Listen, what if I stayed home? I wouldn't be your pastor today. I can guarantee that I wouldn't be your pastor today. You might miss the glory of God, the teaching of God, the deliverance of God, the touch of God. In our text, you know what happened? 3 different times Jesus said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Fifthly, you might miss the encouragement of God. You know, as a pastor, we're always, Brother Doug, we're trying to be sensitive about what to preach. I'm trying to be sensitive. I don't want to be reactionary. I don't want to be reactive in my message. I want to be proactive. But some of that is being sensitive to the needs of your congregation. And sometimes, listen, you folks know me. When I preach a Skinner on Sunday morning, and I do that from time to time. I preach a Skinner. You say, what's a Skinner? That's one that we all just need to get skinned, yeah. Including the pastor, usually especially the pastor. One finger at you, 3 coming back at me. Amen. But I almost always preach an encouragement message on Sunday night because we need to heal from the wounds we had on Sunday morning. Hey, you know what you might miss? You know what Thomas missed? Yep. Peace be unto you. It's going to be okay. I know you're afraid. Go ahead, just go ahead. Put your hands up. It's me. It's going to be okay. I rose from the dead just like I said I would. Yeah. I've conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so send I you. He missed the encouragement of God. You know there are people, and I know, this is why I preach this. It's like the pastor's gospel. I hope when you come to church, you have eyes for somebody else. That you look at somebody else and say, I want to encourage that brother or sister. It's one of the reasons on Wednesday night, it just bothers me to no end when I see people praying alone. I say, I want you to pray with somebody. Pray with somebody. You say, well, I don't know that person. Well, what better way to know them than to get to praying with them? Amen? The encouragement of God. The disciples were all encouraged except for Thomas. So the glory of God, you might miss it. The teaching of God, the deliverance of God, the touch of God, the encouragement of God. Acts chapter 2, you might miss the power of God. the power of God that swept through there. Amen. Luke chapter 24, 49. Remember, Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power." Jesus ascended on the right hand of the Father, but as his disciples obeyed him and were gathered together at Pentecost, those that were gathered received God's power. And God did something amazing. Lastly, tonight, you might miss the glory of God, the teaching of God, the deliverance of God, the touch of God, the encouragement of God, the power of God. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Go there with me if you would. I know many of you know this story. Beautiful, true story. Amen. Acts chapter 3. After that powerful incident, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple into the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Here it is, God's meeting place, God's people, amen. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive some." Of course I'm going to look at you. You can give me some money. I'll be glad to. "Then Peter said," verse 6, "'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." I remember Brother old Lester Roloff, amen. Walking and leaping and praising God. Here he was skipping along into the synagogue. I bet that was a sight, amen. Verse 10, it says, "And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's." Jump over to chapter 4, verse 16. There says, "Saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" You know what you might miss if you miss? You might miss the glory of God. You might miss the teaching of God. You might miss the deliverance of God. You might miss the touch of God, the encouragement of God, the power of God. You might just miss the proof of God. Hey, these lost people said, "Look, this miracle, we can't deny it." We know that man that was lame. He was lame. He was lame for years. No power. I've seen him carried many a times. I've seen him try to pull himself. His legs didn't work. And a notable miracle had been done. You see, ladies and gentlemen, those that were there saw it. They saw that guy come into church. Amen. You imagine? They saw him come into church walking and leaping and said, "Praise God, you're not going to believe it. I haven't walked for years and look at me, look at me. I want to run a marathon." But there was some people that weren't there that day. What do you mean? Hey, where's that guy? Did he finally die? That guy finally die? You know, that guy that was always begging, did he finally die? No. That's him right over there doing calisthenics. Doing jumping jacks. Leading the synagogue gym class. Amen. That's him. You're not going to believe it. You know what? Here's the culmination of the whole message. God wants you to be faithful to His house, where His people gather, where His people sing His songs, read His word, lift up His name, that you could see the very fullness of God. You could see the glory of God. To see somebody get saved. I know after a while we become skeptical. Well, let's see if he's really saved. or she's really saved. And listen, I understand. Trust me, as a pastor, I understand that. One of the hardest things in the ministry is not to become cynical of promises that people make. So I want to keep ministering, amen. But listen, I've been in services through the years. And I thank God for them that I've been in. Sunday night, somebody walked the aisle. I remember the day Larry Bush walked the aisle. Oh, my goodness, I'll never forget that. Oh, Larry Bush, Nellie been praying for years and years. I did his mother's funeral the day before and Brandon and Allie's wedding because Pastor Summers was ill. And I did it, and so I remember being down there in Flat Rock and having to come all the way back here. And Larry came the next day, and I preached, and I just walked him get out of his seat right there where Mama Holy is, get out of his seat, and just slowly walk down the aisle and get delivered from the burden of his sins. Said, you know, my mom prayed for me for years. My wife's been praying for me. About time I settled this matter. Sure is good to be in a service like that. And it may be any service that we have where God decides to show up and do something. Please, those of you that work, I understand. You need sleep. I prefer that you don't get it while I'm preaching. I've been preaching and heard people wanted to take a paper airplane and throw it right in their mouth. Amen. I understand. Listen, and please know that I do understand. I do understand. But if you can be here, ask God to give you the strength. Can He multiply strength? He sure can. Say, God, I am so tired, and the truth is I really don't want to be here, but I know I should be here, and I need to be here, and I need You to strengthen me. And I promise, He's done that for me many, 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 many times. He can do it for you. Father, Lord, thank You for this thought tonight.